Backing together. Backing together. Mariah's weekly program on humanitarian work. Backing together makes both better.
Good afternoon and welcome to the program Working Together, a program on Radio Mariah that comes to you every Wednesday. The programs that focus on humanitarian work and how they are working with the government entities to provide services in the community. And today we are going to focus our discussion on the efforts being made by government entities and humanitarian organizations in fighting food insecurity in South Sudan. I'm Tidio Betty taking you through the program. And As we talk about food security, SDG number 2 aims at ending hunger, achieving food security and improving nutrition and promoting sustainable agriculture. And the United Nations dedicated 16th of October as World Food Day, which is observed annually by UN member states to raise awareness about the global hunger, food security and sustainable agriculture. So the day highlights the urgent need to ensure that everyone has access to sufficient and safe nutritious food, which promotes resilience, food systems, and livelihood. So in South Sudan, where communities face reason of recurrent food insecurity and the impact of climate change, World Food Day provides an important platform to discuss strategies, share experience, and strengthen collaboration among government, NGOs, and international partners to build sustainable and climate-resilient food system. So that is the focus of our discussion today. And in the program today, we will be hearing from our government officials from the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, and we shall also hear from the development partners, NGO, and international and non-governmental organizations. So with me in the studio today, I have Madame Nahir Remis. She is the Acting Director for National Food Reserve, Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. Madame, you're welcome.
Thank you so much, Radio Mariah.
And also I have Nicholas Kerandi, yes, I hope I pronounced that well, the food security specialist, food and agricultural organization, that is UNFAO. Nicholas, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And also I have Mackenzie Masosa. He is the agriculture and rural development expert with WHH. So I would like to say welcome to all of you to Radio Mariah Studios.
Thank you very much.
All right. So as I said, we shall be discussing about food security in the country. Let me start with the Ministry of Agriculture. So this year's celebration is conducted under the theme, Better Production, Better Nutrition, A Better Environment, and A Better Life for All. Leave no one behind. From the government's perspective and the Ministry of Agriculture, what can you tell us about World Food Day? Welcome, madam.
Thank you so much, Radio Mariah. Actually, World Food Day is an international day worldwide, celebrated on October 16. It about raises awareness on global hunger, food security issues, and agriculture, sustainable agriculture.
Okay.
And the founding, it commemorates the founding of the World Food Agriculture of the United Nations in 1945.
All right. Thank you, madam, for the highlights. Now let me come to FAO. Looking at this year's theme, what can you say about the status of food security in South Sudan?
Yes. Thank you so much. So Unfortunately, the situation is not looking very good. As you are aware, over the last couple of years, we still have more than half of the population facing severe acute food insecurity during the lean season, which is driven by a number of factors running from conflict to the economic crisis to the floods and other climatic shocks that we are facing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is need for us to really invest in the food systems.
Okay.
So that we can be able to systematically and holistically address the challenges that are facing the country and the ones that are leading to food insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before I could come to Mackenzie, let me come back to Madam Nahid. How is the Ministry of Agriculture trying to address the challenges that are facing the food security or food problem in South Sudan?
Yes, actually, the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security has a plan. The first plan is food security crisis preparedness plans.
Mm-hmm.
Is aimed to respond any crisis, including the climate change, and then also. The minister also has a smart agriculture, climate smart agriculture, which aim to train the farmers to enable them to use modern technology, use the droughts or flood resistant variety crops. And also we have, the minister also have the agriculture conference, which aim to find the better solution or option, including the climate change.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mackenzie, sorry, I'm not sidelining you, but let me first go back to FAO.
Okay.
How is FAO supporting South Sudan in strengthening its food system and addressing the chronic food insecurity in the country?
Yeah, thank you. So if you look at the food system, it's basically everything that happens from the point of raising crops or livestock until that food reaches the table. So we try to really see how can we be able to strategically address various aspects along that chain, for lack of a better word. And so what FAO South Sudan has done is that in some locations it's gone back to square one, and what you're doing is supporting production and productivity by mm-hmm. supporting farmers get access to inputs, supporting livestock keepers get access to vaccination and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, we recognize the fact that shocks, especially climatic shocks, are the ones that are really eroding resilience of the people that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to build their resilience to these crises and shocks so that then we can be able to support them better. And one of the things we do to do that is through strengthening our information systems, as well as coordination with the various institutions that are supposed to support the people address these challenges.
All right.
Yeah.
So let me come to Mackenzie. In the World Food Day, in your view of the World Food Day, how does your organization, WHH, programs help to support farmers to increase food production and income security?
Thank you so much, Betty, and good afternoon to our listeners. In view of World Food Day and from WHH's perspective, our work is centered around our global campus,
mm.
which looks at zero hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in line, actually, with the this year's theme, where we're saying we're leaving no one behind, and we're also looking forward to a better food, better future, better environment. So all our work is actually centered around capacity building of our smallholder farmers in various states of the country. And we are doing this not alone, but in coordination and cooperation with various sectors like FAO. I'm happy we are together here.
Mm.
We also work with the Ministry of Agriculture in terms of building the capacity of extension support services. Because we know with the strengthened extension support, it means training facilities and also training skills will be cascaded to our smallholder farmers. Okay. So we work with communities in terms of access to inputs, access to markets, access to services that also provide or that also leads to production or crop productivity.
Mm.
And I also want to acknowledge that as we work towards that goal of zero hunger, we also acknowledge the impact of climate change. So at WHH, we also have a facility which we call WAHAFA, which actually stands for WHH Anticipatory Humanitarian Action Facility, which has raised the awareness in terms of preparedness, mitigation, in terms of various climatic risks in South Sudan, because we cannot separate the climatic risks to production. So they are intricately connected, and we work together to make sure that communities are also well-informed and take relative actions to actually improve their production and productivity.
All right. Let me come back to Nahit. What innovative solutions are there that have been promoted by the Ministry of Agriculture and its partners to adapt to the climate change and improve on production?
Yeah, thank you so much, Madam. The Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, they come out with the innovative programs such as enterprises, rural enterprises for the smallholder farmers. And then we also the CRAFT, Climate Smart Resilient Projects. This is another initiative for the smallholder. And then also we have food system innovation. And then with the collaboration with the WFP, and we selected 11 micro, medium, is micro, small, medium enterprises for the 11 across the country, and then to boost out for their food security and their livelihood.
Okay. All right. I think that question also, I have to try it to FAO and WHH on the innovative solutions that you're working on with the ministry to support, like to support farmers to improve on production. FAO?
Yeah, thanks, Betty. So for us, sometimes we try to look at the cup as half empty, or try to make lemonade juice when you serve lemons.
Mm-hmm.
Because these climatic shocks, especially flooding and all that, are here to stay. So what can we be able to do when some of these things that are brought by God that are beyond our control, come in? One of the things is to really try and introduce improved seeds or crops that are very well, that can work very well with this kind of climatic shocks we are seeing. For example, today, my representative and the Minister of Agriculture, Honorable Abdel Baghi, are in a will to look at the wonderful work that is going on in the rice scheme. So here we are looking at the excess water that we get. How can he be able to use it to produce crops that people are able to use? And even water harvesting technologies that can be used for vegetable farming for women and youth, so that they can be able to make some income, in those challenging moments.
Mm.
Or as well as helping farmers to pick up some skills, whereby they can engage in conservation agriculture or better land preparation to be able to avoid some of the extreme challenges or effects of this flooding, improved planting times through making sure that they get information in time and be able to time how well or how soon they can put crops to avoid the excessive flooding, as well as things like improve crop and livestock management that can be able to adapt to erratic rainfall and flooding.
Okay.
So these are some of the things that we are doing,
mm-hmm.
and we hope that over time
it
can really help us.
Mackenzie, you mentioned already some of the things WHH is doing. So can you share for us some of the success stories or success activities that you can consider that, yes, we did this and it worked well, and this is the benefit?
Thank you so much. I liked the statement that you, when you're given lemon, you can prepare lemonade from it. That took me to our operations in Rubkona, which is Unity State, which is one county which has been greatly affected by the flood, where people were displaced from their fields, from their households, and all the land was flooded. But having looked after that and having seen the challenge, and also working with IOM and the state authorities, some of the land was rehabilitated in Benchu, and WHH was one of the key actors identified in terms of food security and livelihoods programming to actually utilize the rehabilitated land, where we actually managed to establish a very big farm, which is now very much thriving, and communities are now producing quite a variety of crops. Some of them new crops like yams, cassava, which were not readily available in across the state. And now, because of the rehabilitated land and also the source of water from the flooded dikes, that land is now being used for crop production all year round, where we are not only waiting for seasonal rains or during the rain season, but farmers can produce all year round, even producing vegetables. That has also contributed to nutrition or nutrition outcomes, and also even taking some of the surplus to the market in terms of income generation. So these are some of the initiatives that WHH together with other partners are doing to turn these misfortunes into something productive, after realizing that for sure the floods are there to stay. And I think you can remember that we've been having this challenge since 2019.
Yeah.
And for us to fold hands to, and say God is going to intervene, we have to look at the positive side of it and say we can use this water for irrigation, for all year round, where farmers can have improved food production, improved nutrition, income from the local market, where women are now selling tomatoes and green vegetables throughout the whole year. Yes.
All right, listener, you're still tuned to Radio Miraya, and this is the program Working Together that comes to you every Wednesday. And today we are discussing the efforts being put in place by the Ministry of Agriculture and partners to improve food security in South Sudan. And with me in the studio, I have Madam Nahid Remis, the Acting Director for National Food Reserve, Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. And I have Nicholas Kerandi, the Food Security Specialist for UN Food and Agricultural Organization. And I have Mackenzie Masosa. He is the Agriculture and Rural Development Expert at WHH. So these are the guests with me in the studio, and soon I will be opening the lines. If you have a comment or if you have benefited from the initiatives that have been applied in your areas by some of these organizations supporting food production, you can also share your experience with us on the line 09206 7879 or 09206 7929. So those are the lines you can call, or you can send a text message to 09120 0912 17741. That is the line for sending your text message. So coming back to my guest in the studio, Madam Nahid, can you share any recent initiative aimed at supporting smallholder farmers and improving local food system?
Yes, yeah. Thank you so much. I think we have so many initiatives for improving food system. And the one that I mentioned earlier, it is a rural enterprise for the smallholder. And then also I mentioned the other one is for the agri-food system. It's about giving loans, granting loan to the smallholders to support them in the boosting food security. And then also the other one is the last one, it's so many, but this one is for the collaboration, the ministry with the World Food Program selected 11 macro and medium and small enterprises across the country, grant them loans to improve their food security and livelihood.
Okay. All right. Let me come to FAO. Madam mentioned about the collaboration. So how can collaboration between the government and the NGOs and the international organization be optimized to ensure that food security, to ensure effective production?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Betty. So I look at this, I think, from three points of view. Number one is that we must make sure that the government leadership and ownership is present by ensuring, so that then it can ensure that all the partners are aligned with the national frameworks and other strategies that are core for us to address food insecurity. Number two is we need to be able to really support and institutionalize multi-sectoral coordination platforms. This is able to bring together various stakeholders from different fields to be able to work collaboratively to address the challenges of food insecurity and low production. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is being able to align humanitarian development and peace efforts so that then we don't focus on one and leave the other. For example, before, I think the country focused so much on humanitarian actions and there was very limited investment in development, which normally ends up supporting resilience. Mm. So I think if you are able to make sure that humanitarian development are working hand in hand and then work with the government to ensure that the peace element is brought in, then I think we can be able to work collaboratively together to be able to address these challenges.
Mm-hmm. All right, WHH, you mentioned already some of the success stories and you mentioned about also some of the things that you are doing. So let's look at capacity building. Looking at the diverse communities, how does capacity building contribute to increased food production?
Thank you so much, Betty. Capacity building, as I mentioned earlier, is actually one of the critical components that WHH is working on because we also acknowledge that we will not be there in these communities forever. Mm-hmm. So our efforts are to build local capacities of farmers, not only farmers, but even the supporting system. I mentioned about the agriculture extension support, working in partnership with the government to make sure that we have competent and effective agriculture extension officers in the locations or in the field that we are operating. Mm. These will also support the farmers, whom we are also working on various agronomic practices. My colleague also mentioned about the sustainable agriculture practices to make sure that farmers are aware of the importance of these practices, like how can you improve your production if you don't know the varieties that are suitable for your locations? How can you improve your production if you're also not taking cognizance of the right planting season and even doing the practical agronomic practices during the production cycle? So these are some of the capacity building sessions that we provide to the farmers to make sure that they have the knowledge, they have the skills to till the land traditionally or generally in the locations in the field. People were used to do the broadcasting kind of planting, and with WHH support, we have now been able to even improve on the methods of planting, like planting in rows, because there are so many advantages of that. Mm. We are also improving the soil fertility, which is related to soil health. We are also improving the conservation of water by conservation agriculture and the related aspects like mulching, minimum tillage, all those things. So we take capacity building very, very important because it remains in the communities, skills remains in the communities, and it's also a sustainable way of working with partners. So our work is centered around the farmers, making sure that they have the right skills and capacities to produce their own food.
Okay. Well, in some of the communities, farming only focus on agriculture. When they talk about agriculture, some of them focus on animal rearing, others focus on cultivation. So do you also bring in the aspects of mixed farming while rearing animals and also cultivating?
Yes, sure. Especially looking at the risks are associated with what you call mono farming or monocropping, where you only focus on one crop. We are also looking at diversified livelihoods programming. Look at which other viable livelihoods options does the community have. Where they have livestock, we also need to support them to strengthen their capacities in livestock production. Because if crops fail, then they have a better fallback in terms of livestock. If the livestock has any problem, they have a fallback on other crops which they grow. So we are driving forward integrated livelihoods programming, where we focus on both cropping and livestock. And you can also remember that in South Sudan, we have a lot of potential in terms of fisheries, which is another sector that we are supporting as well. Because you look at the nutrition side, you look at the income side, and then you complement with the crops that they harvest, then with the products from livestock as well, meat, milk, and the like. So it's a whole package of an integrated approach to make sure that farmers have multiple sources of food, sources of income, in case one fails.
Okay. Well, listener, it's time you can now call in and have your question to my three guests in the studio. If you want to share your experience on food production, you can also call and share your experience. And maybe if you want to know more about how you can handle food production, how you can go about it in your community, in your area, you can also as well call. The number is 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929. Those are the lines you can call, or you can SMS to 091-217-7141. So you can text in, or you can have your question live to the guests who are with me in the studio. Now let me come to FAO. Looking at food security, there's a lot really to talk about. So how is FAO ensuring that interventions that they apply are inclusive, especially when we talk about women, youth, who are considered to be the backbone of production in rural areas?
Yeah, thanks, Betty, for that question. So if you look at the statistics, it shows that almost 80% of labor that is used in farming is provided by women. And then if you look at the demographics of the country, about 65% are considered youth. So already you can see that when it comes to the numbers, you cannot ignore these two groups of people, right? So what we try to do is that in our interventions related to food production, we tend to prioritize them so that we can actually be able to make sure that we leverage on their availability and their labor to be able to produce. The other thing is that once we are able to make agriculture attractive, especially to the youth, then they can be able to significantly contribute to increased production. And this can be able to support us in terms of being able to reduce the high levels of food insecurity that I already talked about at the beginning of the program. And so one of the things that we really focus on is capacity development and making sure that they've got access to resources, but also trying to negotiate for them so that they can get access to things like land, which, as we know, is mostly left to the old people, old men, this being a very highly patriarchal society. So we really try and make sure that those resources that they need to be able to engage effectively in agriculture and food production, we can be able to make it available to them through our efforts.
All right. Well, let me come to Madam Nahid Remis. When we look at some of the, barriers in when we talk about food production, there are really many. We can talk about it, and the list will continue. So, what are some of the key, areas that you think are really barriers to achieving sustainable livelihood for rural communities in South Sudan?
Okay, thank you so much, Betty, for this question. I think it's really so many, so I will highlight some of them. The first barriers is insecurity, which is affected food system and food utilization in the country, and also lack of the good road network. Mm-hmm. This one also can contribute to failures of economic development and food security. And then also we have lack of financing to agriculture. This also a major one for the hindering the food security. And the first one also the market inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So this question is like divided into two, the barriers and how we can achieve the solution.
So maybe to talk about what next, we shall come back to that. Maybe
thank
let
you.
Me come to Mackenzie. Looking at your work and your experience carrying your activities in the rural areas, what do you see as barriers in the local communities down there in the rural areas?
Yeah, there are quite a number of barriers that we have experienced, issues to do with land access. In some cases, we work with communities under what we call farmer field school approach, where these farmers are supposed to be accessing land as a group and work as a group in terms of, so that we can also provide the training at a central point. But we have also realized that in terms of land, sometimes we even fail to get enough land which can accommodate quite a number of farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up having quite a number of small sites across the location. So land is one issue. And the issue also related to flooding, which has made accessibility to some of our project sites, especially during the rain season. That has also become one of the major barriers in terms of production, where farmers cannot access the land. They can be able to go there and do the planting, but when it comes to other operations like day-to-day management or weeding, they may not be able to go there because the land will be inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also attached to the issue of access roads, which are quite limiting in some locations. Then we are talking about climate resilience. And when we talk of climate resilience, we're also talking at having the right crop varieties. And we have experienced in some cases where farmers have limited access to the locally adaptable crop varieties, which I'm very happy that all development partners, even the government, we are talking with the same voice in terms of how we can strengthen the local food the local seed system in terms of preserving these locally adaptable seed varieties to make sure that when the time for planting comes, each and every household has at least a sizable accessibility to the seed to do the planting.
Mm-hmm.
Then, we can also highlight the issue of insecurity, which has also affected us as WHH in some locations where we want to do monitoring. We found ourselves at the community not being able to access some of the areas that we would have identified which have potential for agriculture.
All right. Well, listener, if you're trying to call in and you are not able to get through, sorry, maybe the network is not allowing you, but you can keep trying. And we are just left about 10 minutes to end the discussion. So I can still continue with my guest in the studio on the issue of improving food production or improving productivity to fight food insecurity in the country. And I'm TDO Betty taking you through the program, and with me in the program is Nahid Remis, the Acting Director for National Food Reserve, Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, and we have Nicholas Kerandi, the Food Security Specialist, FAO, and we have Mackenzie Masosa. He is the Agriculture and Rural Development Expert with WHH. Now, let me come to FAO. Looking ahead, what strategies do you think, should be applied to achieve a long-term resilience in South Sudan on the agriculture sector?
Thanks, Betty. So there are a number of things that we can be able to do
mm-hmm.
to achieve this long-term resilience. And one of it is appreciating that agriculture in South Sudan is rain-fed, but then again, severely affected by climatic shocks, especially flooding. So increasing investment in climate-smart production and scaling it up,
mm-hmm.
I think, is one of the things that we can be able to do to address this. And then for locations where water is unpredictable, I think investing in small-scale irrigation and water harvesting technologies is another thing that we can be able to do. And also something that Mackenzie had talked about before, whereby he talked about fisheries, and I want to extend it a bit to livestock. Mm. So being able to diversify our food sources away from just crops and making sure that there is also equal investment in livestock and fisheries to develop those sectors is something that we need to look at. Looking at post-harvest technology, storage, quality, reducing aflatoxins, because you know we lose about 20% of the crops that we harvest at the farm level, mm-hmm. not to talk about how much we lose during storage. So these are things that we also need to be able to look at.
All right.
Being able to open markets for people to be able to get inputs, but also be able to sell and make some money. And lastly, I think being able to invest in extension services, something that Mackenzie has also talked about quite a lot.
All right.
I think that combination of things can be able to help us achieve that resilience
okay.
that we're looking for.
Yeah, let me come back to Madam. Tell us what policies are there that the government is putting in place to tackle some of these barriers that are hindering the production in South Sudan.
Okay, thank you so much, Madam. I think according to the barriers that are highlighted, I think insecurity, we need linking peace building with the development system.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the lack of good road access, we need strategies or policies to allocate money and more investment on that.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the financing to agriculture, we need more investment on agricultural programs. And also for the market influences, the ministry also has a strategy for the direct or indirect subsidies. Yeah, the subsidies that can be indirect in terms of agricultural inputs and direct in terms of loans,
mm-hmm.
so that will boost the food security for the rural communities. So with this one, we need the peace to be integrated into any programs. So because the stability is a major key for the development. Without stability, we cannot be able to improve all this agricultural sustainability. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let me come to Mackenzie. Tell us briefly about what you think needs to be done.
I wouldn't want to reinvent the wheel because most of the things that that should be put in place have been highlighted by my colleagues in the studio here.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at making sure that we also improve on food production and sustainable livelihoods, access to finance, I would reemphasize on that, and peace as well. It's very critical, moving away from the humanitarian phase into more developmental work and integrated with peace building is very important. So I've also highlighted a lot about building the capacities of our communities, of our farmers in terms of extension services, access to finance, and making sure that agriculture is also lucrative to the youth. So by so doing, we can also enhance the market access so that they realize the value of being agriculturalists or farmers. If we can work on those, among other initiatives, I think we'll see a very great improvement in our production in the country, especially looking at the vast tracts of lands that we have in South Sudan, which are almost still very fertile. And it's only us to make it more productive by working on the land and making sure that all the policies, all the services are in place. And
all right.
Youth and women are also at the center of these developmental initiatives. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
All right. As we prepare to conclude the program, so looking at Sustainable Development Goal 2, Zero Hunger by 2030 or 2035. So South Sudan, we are now in 2025. What can you say? I start with Mackenzie.
I would say we still have a long way to go in meeting that to achieve that goal, because also taking you to the Global Hunger Index, which or Global Hunger Report that was released recently, we find that South Sudan is still right at the back with an index of 121 out of 123 countries, I think. So that also shows you that we still have a long way to go in terms of fighting malnutrition, in terms of fighting hunger, in terms of creating opportunities for youth and women. But with all these coordinated efforts from the government, from UN, from international organizations, I think we are closing the gap. We are moving towards that. But I can say we still have a long way to go.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you, Mackenzie. Let me come to Madam. What is your message to the public or to South Sudanese when we talk about food security? Just briefly.
Yeah, thank you so much, Betty. Yeah. When we talk about the food security, and our theme today is better production, better nutrition, better environments, and better life for all, leave no one behind. Just focusing or looking at the angle of this theme, I think the food security is... Now we have so many cases of malnutrition, but how we can uplift it or eradicate it at the Sustainable Development Goal 2030. I think, as my colleague emphasized on it, it is a long way, remaining with maybe 5 years or four something. I think we need a collaborative efforts for the remaining years push.
To achieve, hopefully. FAO, your last message, looking at this year's theme for World Food Day and also looking at the SDG number 2, is it achievable in South Sudan? As Mackenzie mentioned, we are almost at the top list. So what can you say, just briefly?
Yeah, I mean... There's a long way to go, for sure. But I think also the silver lining on this dark cloud is that if you look at the number of people who are hungry globally, I think it's approaching almost a billion. And South Sudan contributes about 6-7 million of those. So that tells you the other millions are contributed by other countries that have been independent for a much longer period. So there's nothing wrong that we are doing. We are learning and improving slowly by slowly. So let's not give up. Let's keep going and let's keep learning from countries that have actually been able to defeat food insecurity and bring those lessons to South Sudan and make sure that nobody gets left behind.
All right. Thank you so much. And for now, I would like to say that we have come to the end of our program for today. And today, of course, we discuss about efforts being put in place by the government and humanitarian actors to fight food insecurity in South Sudan. And with me in the studio has been Madam Nahid Remis, the Acting Director for National Food Reserve, Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security. And we have Nicholas Kerandi, the Food Security Specialist, FAO. And we have Mackenzie Masosa, the Agriculture and Rural Development Expert at WHH. And I would like to say thank you, all of you three, for coming to join me in the studio.
Thank you, Betty.
Thank you, Betty.
And to everyone who has been following us, thank you so much for being part of the program. I'm sorry if you tried calling and you were not able to get through. We are sorry for that. Maybe network was not very good, but otherwise we hope to come again with another edition of the program Working Together next week on Wednesday. But for now, keep tuned. The Arabic news will be coming next at 2 exactly. And after that, of course, the drive time will be taking you through after 5. I've been with you, Tidio Betty, taking you through, saying bye for now, but keep tuned. Yeah, me no.
Alex and the ghetto president. How are they doing?
Guatemala, the human trafficking layer.